Well, Happy New Year. Can you believe it's 2025? Man, we are looking ahead and thinking the way that God is going to be working. And I think about all the things that God has done right here in this church, right here in this community, and even around the world. And I think about the ways that He's using us as a church body to share the hope of the gospel. Thrilling to me. One of my highlights of the year is always when we have a baptism celebration. It's just so great to see people that are coming forward and giving testimony in front of all of us, in front of their family and friends, that they have placed their faith in Christ. And they're identifying not just with Him, but with us as a church body. I can think of a lot of other things that God has done. Another one of my favorite is the Salvation Sundays that we celebrate with white balloons on the stage, because that represents children through our Sunlight Ministry coming to faith in Christ. And what a great ministry that is. People are taking their time, serving down there, and teaching the kids about who God is, how much He loved them, and why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And so those are just a couple of things, but there's so many other ways that we've seen God working. One of those is growth groups. We have over 550 people involved with that, and that represents 45 different groups where people are coming together, taking the message from Sunday, asking some questions, and really working towards applying those truths to their lives. I can think about our Stephen ministry, the way we have people that are willing to walk alongside others who are struggling. We all struggle, and it's just so great to know that we are part of a church that when I'm going through some, I can reach out and I can have someone be there with me and walk through those things. We have the River Ministry, which is to single moms. We have Women to Women. We have so many other things that are just amazing. I think about the way that this church functions. It is truly all of us. I think about the way that the volunteers serve you as a volunteer and the ways that you have impact. We have over 786 volunteers that actually are willing to serve, taking up their time, making it a priority, to serve in this church, and that allows us to really get after our mission, the thing that we believe God has us together for, and that's to grow deeper in our relationship with Christ and share the hope of the gospel.
Well, good morning. Man, you see how fast 2025 snuck up on us? What a great start to 2025. I forgot I was hosting, but this just shows how much we need Denny here, just to jump in and would never shame anyone, call him out publicly, anything like that. He's so generous and gracious. I didn't tell you, I just moved the host spot to that video, so that was...
Yeah, that was good.
No, yeah, actually, it wasn't. But anyway, we are in a new year. I hope you guys had a good Christmas. And I hope you're looking at 2025 as a new season. It is a new season for all of us. And I just think the calendar year just allows us to reflect. Hopefully you've done some of that. And I think we'll be doing some reflection even over the next couple weeks. Some really good things that are coming. But this morning, I wanted to have a conversation with Denny. And it was about a year ago. Actually, within like 2 days. I think it was January 3rd. I was in my office, and Denny came in, and we're doing the, hey, how was Christmas, that kind of thing. And I go sit down, and I'm trying to work, and Denny usually just walks into my office. We have a strict, if the door's closed, don't bother someone. They're studying, they're working. Not for Denny. Denny didn't know that was a rule. So Denny just kind of barges in, and he sits down and talks, which is great. Love that. But when he says, hey, do you have a minute? I just kind of pucker up a little bit, like, uh-oh. And sure enough, Denny had some information coming off last year. So this was a year ago, January 3rd. So how'd you start the conversation?
Well, Todd, this is going to be my last year. And, you know, until about 20 minutes ago, I was feeling pretty good about it. And then when he forgot to come out, made me a little nervous. So you're all going to get a free Todd Gerst bobblehead in the mail sometime in the next month. As a reminder. But anyway, so, you know, kind of the original plan was a couple more years, and we shared that at the 30th celebration out back that we had, and so I don't think this is a big shock to anybody. But, you know, Cookie and I saw the video that we just saw, but the version for last year, when we were coming back from seeing our kids in Denver, and we were sitting at the airport, and we both watched this video unbeknownst to each other. And we got home that evening, I think we were sitting down for dinner, and Cookie's like, hey, did you see Todd's video? And I said, yeah, it was really good, wasn't it? And she's like, yeah, why are you staying two more years? And I, of course, got defensive because I have a pathological need for closure, and we'd already decided, and, you know, I don't like to change plans. And so she was like, nah, I'm just bringing it up. And so later that night, I was watching some football, and I think she had gone up to bed, and I was wrestling through this whole idea of, like, well, that there's a lot involved in this decision, even though we'd kind of been ramping up to it for years in many ways. And so the next morning I get up, and I was up a little before her and was praying, and God made it abundantly clear that he had spoken through her, really, and it was the right thing to do. So she comes down, and I don't know, we were chatting about something, and she goes, you give any more thought to our conversation last night? And I started talking, and I teared up, and she's like, I said, I think you're right. And so we have felt this tremendous peace the whole year. Of course, it's bittersweet. There's a lot of emotion that goes with it. And, you know, I always wondered what this season would look like, but I go back to Solomon in Ecclesiastes, and one of the first series I ever did as a young pastor in Dayton, Ohio, was Ecclesiastes, which after about 2 months, some of the people in the church were begging me to quit because it's a little depressing. But one of the things in there is it's a season for everything. And so, you know, my last Sunday to preach will be February 23rd. And so that's got a couple more between now and then. But, you know, it has felt, Cookie and I have not wavered from believing that this is what, you know, God had wanted. And so, you know, it's been, the year's feeling a little bit long now. You know how I started getting accused of having senioritis back in July. So you can imagine when you know you're going to do something for such a long period of time, and then it's actually upon you.
And it is upon us. So when's your final?
23rd of February.
23rd. So I think that gives it a little bit of definition. Yes, we've been planning, working towards this for a long time. I'm sure for many it's not a shock, but the idea there, and you can ask Denny, hey, would you stick around longer? I have. We've already got two more months out of him, so he was going to quit right there. Quit, I say quit. He was going to retire, sorry.
No, I didn't quit.
He was going to retire from this ministry, and asked him, hey, would you stay through the new year, because we are launching some really big things and important things, and would love to have you be a part of that, and be a part of launching those things as we look forward into the next phase and the next season for WCC, for us as a church body. So I know there's probably a lot of questions. I guess my first one is, and that's it probably encourages all of us to know that Cookie was a part of that. But how is Cookie feeling about it, that decision right now?
Good. You know, I think the biggest challenge is going to be more of me and less money. So you might want to pray for her in that regard. She has encouraged me to play more pickleball and golf, and I think I can go with that.
Well, Denny, looking for a win-win situation.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Lose-lose, but.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, you know, first of all, I have always prayed that when this time comes, I've seen so many bad examples of people staying too long or waiting till things are coming unraveled. And I always wanted to, leave when the church is going well. I feel as healthy as I've ever felt emotionally. I'm not feeling any burnout or pushed out or anything like that. And it seems like to me the right time as a leader to leave is when things are going well and, you know, in good hands. And really, this transition's been going on for 5 years. I mean, for those of you who are newer, you've only known me as one of the teaching pastors, as part-time, you know, as a teaching team, a group teaching team. And, you know, for years, and getting back to, you know, how's Cookie doing, you know, since 1983, I've worked probably 80% of the weekends. And I'm grateful, don't hear me wrong. But that is a sacrifice for your family. And so, you know, last weekend we got to spend 3 days in Indianapolis with 14 of our favorite people. That would be our children, their spouses, and our 8 grandchildren. And, you know, I have grandchildren in Denver, grandchildren in Nashville, and grandchildren in Indianapolis, and children too, but, you know, they're secondary now to my grandchildren. We've all seen the videos. But, you know, we want to spend some time, more time. We don't want to miss that. My grandparents were hugely influential in my life, and I want the same opportunity with my grandkids. But, you know, I think for 6 months, we're going to really just decompress and let the church adapt to this new normal. So, yeah, that's kind of, you know, do some traveling, see our grandkids. I got a new driver last year, so I have to get better at using that. And, you know, that's for golf, for those of you who don't know. Like, you know, I don't have a driver that drives me around. It's a driver. I'm not quite that entitled.
I'll be your caddy.
Yeah, thanks.
No, you don't want that club.
Yeah.
You want that.
But we're doing well. I think for Cookie and I both, you know, she's been a part of this ministry from day one. And, you know, it's we both feel good. Right? We both feel great and grateful for where we are, and that seems like the right time to kind of step aside and do something different.
Well, my relationship with Cookie is, I think she feels like my older sister who can tell me what to do a lot, right? No, we fight like brother and sister. No, just wanted to also express just appreciation for Cookie and what she's meant to this ministry. We see Denny a lot, but just knowing the impact that Cookie's had on so many of us individually, and then even as a part of this ministry and having a formal role before, and just the way that she's lived her life, and so thankful for her and the discernment she has. It's not an uncommon theme, as Denny was just sharing about how things transpired, that Denny's direction often is helped and guided through the Holy Spirit and Cookie, and have seen that repeatedly. And appreciate the gifting that she has of discernment and some other gifts, and just how she is as a person, and just for you guys to be a team. And I know that that's a huge part of what's has transpired and the effectiveness of your ministry. So thank you, Cookie.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I think one of the things that's been very clear to me, and I want to communicate this. I don't think you ever retire from serving Christ, and I have no intention of that, whether I get paid for doing something or not. But I was driving back from our church in Plymouth several months ago, and I just felt God speaking to me and say, just as you approach this this new territory, just wait on me, trust me, and steward well what I've given you. And I feel like, and don't take this the wrong way, because it's I'm super grateful, but I feel like for the last 42 years I've done what I've had to do, which is lead a church, in order to get to do what I love to do, which is preach and teach and care for people and mentor people. And I don't see that stopping. We've talked. I said, if I'm doing stuff here, which I hope to be, you know, in 6 months or a year or something like that, I mean, I want to wait on God. I just don't want to be the boss of anybody. I don't want to be in charge of anything anymore. So bless you and keep you. I'm happy to turn that over. That's never been my favorite thing. I have this probably useless degree called a Master's of Divinity. It's an MDiv, and not to be mistaken with an MBA. So to run an organization has been scary for me, and I have been so incredibly grateful for amazing people who are so gifted in so many areas that I'm not around me over the years that have kept this thing from running aground, and I'm just so grateful for that. So to me, I think I'm at a season where I'm gonna get to do the things that I really love to do, that I've spent 40 years just being able to grow in and to continue to build the kingdom. And I very much wanna do that. I would be very bad at doing nothing. So you can only play so much golf and pickleball. I mean, let's face it. And
have you even played pickleball yet?
No, but okay. You know, it's I have, but I'm afraid of getting beat by some 88-year-old dude with 2 knee braces and elbow braces, and you know, my ego's still a little tender.
I'd love
that.
To see that.
Yeah, I'm sure you would.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, Denny, I was thinking too. Just you were the best boss I ever had, because he told me I was awesome like every day,
And one time he gave me a 4 instead of a 5, and I was like, we need to talk about this.
Because the elders were always getting on me for giving everybody 5s all the time, so I thought I had to, but I thought you could handle it.
Well, yeah, and I do think that's an opportunity. Just, you know, there's a lot of things I think about our elder team specifically. That's who was leading Denny and giving input and direction, caring for him and Cookie, and I'm very thankful for them. And then also the other relationships that you've had, and then certainly staff. And we could start naming some people, and we'd probably leave out some that had a huge impact, and so we're not. But it is a recognition about the body and people using their gifting and stewarding that and allowing God to use them. And that's going to be a theme as we go forward. It's going to be a theme of how God uses people. And, you know, I think about our relationship going back 31 or 2 years, and maybe this is like your story of going into WCC. This was back in the Harrison Elementary days, and it was really nice. You could sit on the bleachers, kind of like this. You're facing this way, but they're speaking over there. That's why I have neck problems from the Harrison gym. There were blue tarps on the floor because they didn't want to scuff that middle school. Grade school? Whatever.
Grade school, yeah.
Grade school. Floor, because that's so important. But anyway, it was a lot of work and a lot of things going on. But I really just felt, as Karen did, this is going to be our church. And we hadn't gone to the mission field yet. And we just felt grace being preached and felt a real connection with Denny. And I'm sure, again, that's probably a lot of our story. And so Denny was my pastor and Karen's pastor for a lot of years before we even became co-workers. And so just very much appreciated Denny's teaching over the years and how that's encouraged us. When we were in Papua New Guinea, we would, about every 6-8 months, we would get a shoebox full of cassettes and of Denny's messages. And I would listen to those pretty faithfully as I would try to get a little bit of exercise. And I was just listening, and so you really had a formation in my own life, and it's it is bittersweet for me too.
Yeah. Well, enough about me.
Let's talk about you for a while. We're not done yet, Denny.
So Todd, for the last 2 years, you have been the best boss I've ever had.
Wow.
In fact, you've been the only boss I've ever had in ministry, but it's been good. No, I mean, this is what is so good about this. I mean, I have such confidence in the leadership that we have now, the congregation. You know, it really dawned on me about 5 or 6 years ago, we were down in Florida for some kind of a leadership conference or something, and we were sitting around at dinner one of the nights after a day of meetings with our leadership team, and I just kind of shared something that I'd been feeling, and I felt very vulnerable in sharing this. I said, you know, I don't have a vision for the future of WCC anymore. And I didn't mean that I don't care and that I don't think things are going well, but God gave me a vision for this church a long time ago, and I'm deeply grateful that I got to have a vision at one time. But the church has begun to shift directions significantly in the last 7 or 8 years, and part of the reason why we brought Todd on to become more of an equipping church and moved away from a little bit what came to be known as the seeker movement and mega churches and all that. And I never liked those terms because there's so much misunderstanding and baggage that goes with that. And I have really seen Todd's vision for discipleship and equipping the body really begin to take place. And so that's when I think we began to make this move. And so Todd, you know, as you see the future, what are things that you see that are going to remain the same, and what are some things that you see that are going to be different as God continues to sharpen your vision for this ministry?
Yeah, I am very excited, despite the fact of, you know, that disconcerting news, and as you guys even adjust to that, it's a finality to that with a date, but God has given a vision, and that vision is to becoming the church that Christ leads in a way that we actually are engaged in a relationship with him that is so deep and is so rich that it overflows out of us. That instead of when we have conversations with people who don't know him, that there's this fear and intrepidation, some insecurity, don't feel equipped, don't feel prepared, don't want to lose reputation or all those things that go in your head when you're thinking about sharing who Christ is to you, that we would grow beyond that, that it would just, he would overflow out of us. That's what he wants. That's what he intends. And I to use a visual, I have felt like at times, and I'm speaking of myself as well, that all of us at times, God's grace and his love is like an ocean. And I'm sure many of you have been to the beach, and you certainly know what a mud puddle is. And the beach will wash in, and then there'll be a little stream or whatever, but it gets blocked by the sand that's pushed in by the tide. And that water there is nasty. It's stagnant. It's not moving. It's not flowing. And much like the Dead Sea, it becomes dead. And that's what can happen to us, and often does happen to us in our relationship with Christ. He has this vast ocean of resource, of peace and joy. We just go through Advent of who he should be and desires to be in our lives that would transform the way we think, the way we live, the way we speak. That's what God wants for us. And he wants us to move out of the little bit of shallow and go in deep with him and trust him. And trust him in that and experience the fullness of a fresh ocean and the breeze and the beauty and the never-ending resource that he intends to be for us.
Well, and Todd, you know, I think for me, one of the things that I'm just amazed by so often is that I'll see something or hear a story of something that some of you have done or one of you have done in our community. And you know, when I think about the fact that we have almost 600 people in growth groups who are studying the word that we are preaching on Sunday mornings, we're writing that curriculum, that we have probably 80 or 90 trained Stephen ministers who went through about 40 hours of training. You know, we have different hospital visitation teams. The body is alive and well, and it always used to bother me and make me nervous at the same time when I would hear WCC referred to as Denny Wilson's church. It's not my church, it's Jesus' church. It's always been his church. And one of my dreams and prayers has always been, one of the things that would be most thrilling to me, and I kid you not, would be to see this church thrive in ways I could have never imagined after I retire, to see all of you, to see the leadership, to see Todd and others, seeing this church explode. Because, you know, my heart, no surprise, has always been to reach the world for Christ. I want to populate heaven. I want to drag as many people to heaven with me as possible. But it's not any longer about just inviting people to church, because it's not happening so much in our culture anymore. It's about us being equipped and mobilized, like Todd said, to go out into the world and connect with those that we live, work, and play with. And so, you know, I think I see so many healthy signs of that happening now, and I've seen a culture shift, Todd, with you bringing along, you know, your passion for discipleship and equipping, something you spent 18 years in Papua New Guinea doing, and then translating that to our world here. So, you know, as I look to the future, I just feel that we are in such a healthy place. And I just feel very much at peace about this move. You know, on a personal level, I mean, it's sure it's emotional, and, you know, I'm sentimental anyway, and all that, but I'm excited to see this church thrive beyond anything I could have. And if there's anything that, and I want to kind of move to what you're seeing in the near future, but the one thing that I really learned a lot through was COVID. And I've shared this before with you, you know, thinking when you called me and we were in Colorado that we couldn't meet. And I was like, well, how's that going to work? We're done. I moped around for a few days. And then I was like, okay, God, I've been preaching that you're going to build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I've been preaching that for years. Do I really believe it? But I'm like, Lord, I have no choice right now. And so it was that surrender to say, God, I want to see what you can do. And what I've seen him do over the last 4 years since COVID has been nothing short of remarkable. And so, you know, I want to completely turn it over to you. I heard a Kerry Newhoff, he's a kind of all things church and church health and church growth and all that, a podcast guy, former pastor. And he said that the churches that are going to thrive today and in the next 10 or 12 years are the churches that help people who are coming to the church discover their God-given purpose and their calling and their mission. Because we want to make a difference in the world. It's not just about having bigger and better and more services, that's fine, but it's about building up the body of Christ for the work of the ministry as you go out into the world. And I'm excited about that. And so I think we're on track for that. So I want you to talk about that, because I know this next few weeks we're even going to really dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, so looking forward, as we do that, there's a new series we're going to be starting in 2 weeks, and that's going to be, we're calling it Starting Point. And the idea isn't that we need to all start over, but we want to begin a journey together. And when I say journey, that's not a big enough word. I want to start describing it as a quest. I want us to be on a quest in our relationship with Christ, and connecting ourselves with his purposes and following him. And it is a quest. And next week I'm going to talk about the difference between a journey and a quest and what that would look like and the implications of that for us. But as we do that, some of the things that aren't going to change here, and that is this being a welcoming church. I think about our Lord Jesus Christ. He met people right where they're at. Always. And that's who we're following. And that's not going to change. That when people walk in here, and it's so encouraging when someone walks in here and then they get a little bit connected and I talk to them and I get to hear from them talking about their experience. One of the things that you guys are known for is being welcoming and friendly and caring. That people come in here and they feel loved. They feel important. They feel valuable. And that is not going to change. In fact, I just hope we grow in our ability to do that. And one of the words that has come to me over the last few months, just thinking and preparing for this day, and even as we move forward, that this should be our home. And I think about a home, and I know a lot of people, my wife as well, that are just great hosts or hostess. They just do such a great job. And the first time that you go to their home, you don't feel very comfortable, but they make you feel like a guest, that you're important, that you're valuable. And they care for you in a very generous way, and they serve. That's what I want us to be for our guests as they come into our home. But for the rest of us, that we would actually see this place as our home too, that this is a safe place. This is a place where we can truly be ourselves, that we truly are with our brothers and sisters, and we can appreciate the diversity, not fight over it. One of the biggest tragedies that I can see in the church is all these different denominations and church after church after church after church. I can tell you that is not God's plan. That is not his design. And what he wants for us is to be woven together. And only he can do that. Like, just think of the diversity in this room. How in the world could we function in a home like a family? Because he's going to build this church and he's going to build that in. And we are following him and we are led by his Spirit. He's going to produce a unity that we seldom get to experience. And that's what God has for us. And that's going to start as we go to that starting point, to be reminded of the authority of God's word in our lives. And as our culture crumbles around us, our light is only going to shine brighter. The darker it gets, the brighter our lights will shine. And as much as I'd love to see this country completely turned around, our priority is not going to be turning around our country. It's going to be to turning around ourselves and following Christ and lead other people to the one who saves. Jesus saves. He's the salvation. He's the one building this church, and we are going to follow him. And we're going to grow individually and then collectively together. And that gets me very excited, because I think of just the impact that would have on this community and our country and around the world, just sharing the love of Christ. And so we can do both. We can be a church that people walk in and they feel comfortable and welcome, and we can go deep into the ocean of God's word, of his truth, and following him, and we can lead other people to him. And so that's really, if I was to really compress it, There's a lot of other things I'd love to share this morning, but we will be sharing those things. Even next week, we are going to talk about the body of Christ, the church. We have such misconceptions about what it is and our part in it. And so that's how we're going to move forward next, even starting next week.
So kind of, since we have a little extra time, since we didn't do a welcome slot, too soon. this is great.
I should have brought my pen. Hold on.
You can't believe how happy that made me, having to stand up here. So, because I get blamed for everything, because I've been here since day one. So ultimately, it does
on your watch, Denny.
Yeah, on my watch.
On your watch.
Not mine now. Hey, but the CARE Fund. Let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, it's, you speak about what we do in the community, and I used to think, you know, if WCC didn't exist with the community notice, the community would absolutely notice, because. But let's talk about it. How do we do on that?
Can you guys put up the slide? I know that's like
appreciate
way back
your
there.
Flexibility.
And the one slide we had, we didn't use.
212,000. Thank you. That's amazing. And that's over and above.
That's beyond the general giving that we do, our tithe to the church. That's just your generosity. And connecting it with people that are going to be impacted tremendously by that. Some in small ways, that this church is known as a place that I can be helped. I love that. And then some big ways, some of the projects. And we saw Ben talk about Habitat for Humanity. And then so many other things of serving and loving people, meeting them right where they're at. And if they're not here, okay, meeting people where they're at doesn't just mean when they're here. It means when we go into their world and meet them where they're actually at, not just when they come, but going out into the world. And so, yeah, that CARE Fund, and I just think that's a testimony. And again, we want to continue to be that kind of light in this community. And it's over $4 million. I think it's over $4.5 million over the years. And that's thousands and thousands of people that you guys have had an impact on. And so that's thrilling to me. And I when we applaud, I hope we're recognizing how good God is and how generous he is with us, and that we would just desire to be generous with others the way he is with us. Can we show our slide that we put together that took like somebody a lot of time?
Yes.
That's just a timeline. Go ahead, Denny.
Well, I was going to let you, but I'll do it, sure. I mean, if you think about the progression of this transition, I mean, it started basically 10 years ago. And, you know, I feel like, you know, with a founder, a founding pastor, founding whatever in any organization, the more runway you can give to transition and a change of leadership, the less traumatic it is when, you know, your longtime founding leader stands up one Sunday and says, oh, hey, by the way, this is my last Sunday. And, you know, that happens usually for very bad reasons. And I'd like to think that we've done this in a very healthy way. And, you know, people wonder and people ask, as you share this vision for our future, I'm excited about it. People are like, so I think they think that we're going to drive off into the sunset and end up in the Rocky Mountains in a Mustang convertible forever after we leave here, which we're not. You know, this is our home church. We're going to continue to be a part of WCC, live in this community, and, you know, you're going to see us, so we're going to be around, and, you know, I'm excited about what God might do. But to me, that there has to be a letting go, and there has to be a change. That's part of life. And so I think we've done everything we can do. We'd be naive to think that this isn't going to, you know, be a hard thing. It's going to be an adjustment, but I think it'll be okay. You know, I told Todd when I went up to the office before the service, got a few hugs from some of you, and it was a little sad, and I'm like, oh, if we could just hurry up and get this next 6 weeks over. I feel like I'm walking through my own funeral viewing, you know, and it's like, I'm not dead, you know.
You're not dead, but you may be shunned by me.
Yeah, on the 23rd.
Just a natural common shunning. Just a shunning. But, yeah. You know, Denny, it has been a joy.
Yeah.
And knowing you for as long as we have known you and Cookie, and the impact that WCC has had on us as they supported us overseas, and then never imagined it being here, It wasn't this career goal of mine, like, hey, I'd love to take over for Denny someday. No, that never was there. I didn't even think we'd be at this church beyond this being our home church. And I love the fact that you're talking about this being your home church, because that's actually how it should be. Through changes, where else would you guys go that you're a part of a body, that people care about you and you know them and they know you? That's what this church is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be about an individual person other than the person of Jesus Christ. So I just think of that, but it is a joy. And people ask me how I work with Denny and how that has gone over the years, and it's been great. It's been wonderful, and we are close friends as well, and we've got some connection with our grandkids that are in Carmel. And I think I love them more than he does, and he assures me that's not true. But I'm like, you have 8. I only have 2. You don't have enough to go. But that's our relationship, and it has been so good. And I know that a lot of people are going to want to thank you guys. And then as you thank him, hug him, shun him. But we'll unshun you in 6 months, maybe 12 months. But I'm glad that you guys are going to be a part of the community.
Well, I just want to end on a really positive note, okay? We passed the ultimate test when our kids started dating. So that's my only daughter, and dating his son. And I said, so if this doesn't work out and your son disappears, I said, are we still good? You know, I'm kidding.
He's not kidding.
I love my son. I absolutely love my son-in-law. And it's been, you know, and that wasn't on purpose. I think people think, oh, it just seems a little bit, you know, inbred, you know, and that wasn't the design, trust me. I mean, it was never that. And you know, that was a concern, actually. Like, you know what?
Yeah.
It couldn't be better. And I just love Todd and Karen. I trust Todd. I mean, what he and Karen did in New Guinea is absolutely miraculous and amazing. I was there to get to see it with my own eyes. And I trust your leadership. I trust you. I trust you as a church body. We're in a good spot. And remember, this is Jesus' church, and he said he would build it, and he wants
Amen.
You to all be a part of it. And I think that the band's probably ready to lead us in some worship.
They're
getting a little anxious back there.
Oh, look at the time. Okay.
Anyway.
I knew we'd need more.
Thank you.
But
yeah.
I want to pray for you guys.
Okay.
So
okay.
What do you have as prayer requests that we can pray for you right now?
Well, you know, for me, I've been doing this Charles Stanley devotional the last month about waiting on God. That's not very easy for me. I'm great with God's will, just not his timing, and I like things to go quickly, and so, but he's just continually to say, just be still and get to know me a little differently and a little better, not as a pastor, but just as my child. And so I think that, and obviously the adjustment for Cookie and I mean, you know, we'll be fine most days, and you know, I think it's going to be, I mean, it's new, you know. I've worked full time for, you know, the last 44 years of our marriage, and this is going to be some new territory. But I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited about it. I get to do what I want to do instead of what I have to do. So how's that sound?
That sounds good.
All right.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just thankful. We're thankful for Denny and Cookie and their family, the sacrifices that they made for you, and just how we have benefited so much from that, their faithfulness, their commitment, their love. And Lord, it is bittersweet for us, and you know that. So Lord, I just ask, first of all, for help for each one of us as we process this. Lord, that you would lead and guide in this. And then for Denny and Cookie, as they also are looking at some huge adjustments of being retired from this role, but not from life. And so Lord, I just pray you'd give them real wisdom of the things that would bring joy to them, but also how they can continue to serve and love people. We're so grateful for the love that they've shown to each one of us and to so many others, and their care. And we know that they love you, and so we're just asking you to continue to lead and guide them as they take these next steps. We ask these things because you are our Savior and you are our Lord. So in your name we pray, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thanks, buddy.
On your way out, you can pick up one of these. This just tells you on the 15th of February, we're going to have an open house for Denny and Cookie. And so we have an opportunity for each one of us to thank them and to just, in a way, congratulate them for so many years of faithful service. And then also know how to pray for them and encourage them as they take this next step into a new ministry, a new way of serving the Lord and being used by Him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that You build Your church. And Lord Jesus, that You are the head and we want to follow You, each one of us. We think of the faithfulness with Denny and Cookie in their lives. And we're just grateful. Grateful to You. And we're grateful for them and just how You've used them. I pray it'd be an example to us in our own journey of following You, in our own quest of knowing You more intimately. And so, Lord, we praise You today for Your goodness to each one of us and sending Your Son. And it's His name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Have a great week.